Okay. How are you today? Thank you for being here. Namo myoho renge kyo. Today's Go Show is the receipt of new fiefs. And this is another letter to Shijokingo. We've read several in recent months. Shijokingo being a samurai, one of note within the sphere of Lord Emma, his master, his boss. And we know from previous letters that Shijokingo, because he's a dedicated follower of Nichiren's doctrines of the Lotus Sutra, is first of all disliked by his fellow samurai because he doesn't follow the program and chant the Nembutsu or Pure Land or Pure Word, True Word schools or any of that, which is what's popular at the time in the shogunate, the 13th century in Japan. They spare no effort to undermine his influence with Lord Emma, who at times wants to discipline Shijokingo because it's a constant splinter in his side that his main samurai, or one of his main samurai, is problematic. He's not going with the flow of the cultural reality of the day, and so there's all this unrest and little, petty argumentation and backstabbing going on. And Lord Emma would rather have nothing to do with that. He just wants to increase his influence in Japan with his properties and his auspices, his power, his political clout, right? Time and again, he's gone back and forth with this Shijokingo, and at times wanting to demote him, and actually has offered him fiefs' property that, in Shijokingo's eyes, would be a demotion of sorts. Like, he could have given me this tract of land that was near a city center and prosperous, but instead he gave me this junk property out here, and I turned him down. So Shijokingo has, as we've observed, he has a short temper, which I would think for a samurai is not a bad quality, but has a short temper, and he's a bit arrogant, right? He thinks he knows his worth. But that worth is a worldly, mundane, samsaric worth. In a greatly authoritarian society, which is ruled by might, by the sword, as an assassin, yeah, things are pretty samsaric, right? Very earthbound. And Nichiren is constantly trying to egg him on to think more mentally about his life. His spiritual life, if you will, but it's a mental state of being, something elevated above the rudiments of brute force. And so, most recently, in several letters we've covered, there was this whole issue of this conspiratorial of this conspiracy invented by samurai reporting to Lord Emma that Shijokingo has done this terrible thing at misrepresented his lord at a debate with Ryokan, I believe. No, one of Ryokan's juniors. Anyway, and then Lord Emma fell ill, very ill, evidently, from all accounts. And so he summoned Shijokingo, who is the only one amongst all of his retinue that was educated in medicine and ways of doctoring. And Shijokingo's prescriptions helped bring him back to health. So, health confrontations are very important to us, right? Samsarically, we want to survive, we want to live. So that chalked up a lot of points for Shijo Kingo. And one of the things after Lord Emma got healthy again is, first of all, he got rid of these accounts of Shijo Kingo's bad behavior as more conspiratorial stupidity amongst the samurai, the little children. And so he wanted to give Shijo Kingo more property, more estates, as a thank you. Of course, fiefdoms and fiefs are estates that you're given as reward, but they're conditional upon your continued service, right? They're not just, he didn't write a pink slip out to him. He says, you can have this land now under your auspices, as long as you mind who you work for, right? So, arrogance goes both ways, right? This is the flexing of authority and political clout again. And Shijo Kingo thinks, some of these estates he's given me, they're kind of, he could have given me better lands without regard to what Lord Emma may be dealing with politically on a larger scale. He's just very arrogantly and egotistically thinking about his position and how it looks to the other samurai, right? One of the fiefs that Lord Emma gave him was evidently perhaps on Sado Island or something. Which is not bad. It's an estate. It includes the people that are there, the farmers and so forth. They become under Shijo Kingo's rule. So he's ex Shijo Kingo is expanding his influence and his clout himself. But Shijo Kingo, being the samurai that he is complaining about this. Certainly, we don't know if he complained to Lord Emma about it, but he certainly wrote a letter to Nichiren, saying, "Yeah, so he gave me these fiefs now, but I mean, look at where they are, and what am I going to do with that?" And he's not looking at the gift as a reward, as a validation of his service and his strong influence on Lord Emma. He's not looking at that. Again, he's being very samsaric and just egotistical about it, right? So Nichiren is responding to him after having written this letter to Nichiren. So that's the context for this letter. And let's see how Nichiren uses Shijo Kingo's condition now as, again, an opportunity for teaching, right? So we start out, as is usually the case, with a thank you. So here we go. I've received your 1,000 coins. So your lord has granted you new fiefs. I cannot think it to be true. It is so marvelous that I wonder if it is a dream. I hardly know what to say in reply. Acknowledging that this is not so long ago, you were about to be cast out, having your fiefs taken away, your fiefs taken away, pronounce it either way, and maybe even discarded altogether. Lord Emma was convinced, and he was going to have you, if you'll recall, we read about this, he was going to have you write not a dedication, but anyway, a decree of sorts, saying that you were renouncing any allegiance to Nichiren or any other school but the Nembutsu, which is what we practice here, or you're gone. I mean, it was an ultimatum, and not that long ago. And since he got sick and Shijo Kingo saved his life, now all of a sudden he's in his good graces. Lord Emma's good graces, and he's giving him more land, more responsibility. I mean, that's a huge turnaround, right? So that's why Nichiren is saying, I hardly know what to say. That's an amazing result, right? The reason is that people in Japan and throughout Kamakura, and even those of in your lord's service, including the scions of his clan, disapproved of you because of your belief in Nichiren's teachings. So I marvel at your receiving the new fiefs. And I marvel at the fact that you are still in your lord's clan at all. Moreover, whenever your lord offered a grant to grant you an estate, you invariably declined to accept it, referring to in the past when Lord Emma offered him lands that Shijo Kingo thought were beneath him, he refused them. How strange your fellow samurai must have thought your refusals, right? They were like, how could you do that? How could you turn away such a great reward from Lord Emma? You really are arrogant, right? How outrageous they must have seemed to your lord. Lord Emma is not used to being refused when he's handing a gift, right? And Shijo Kingo goes, no, I don't want that. Yikes, right? So Shijo Kingo was not his own best, and not in his own best interest a lot of the times. He was just too damn arrogant. So I was anxious about how you would fare this time, and in addition, I learned that dozens of your fellow clansmen had slandered you to your lord, right? We know about that. I therefore thought you could not possibly obtain a fief. I was concerned because your situation was so overwhelming. Moreover, even your own brothers had abandoned you. Remember, we read about that too. And yet, in spite of all this, you have been shown such favor. No honor could be greater than this. So, you say that your new domains occupy an area three times the size of Tonoaka. There is a man from the province of Sado staying here now who knows that area well. He tells me that of the three villages, the one called Ikada is best. Although its fields and paddies are few, its profits are immeasurable. Two sites each yield an annual harvest worth 1 million coins in land tax. Another site, 300,000 coins. Such, he says, are their merits. So this is Nichiren saying, don't discount this reward you're getting, you know. He's trying to address Shijo Kingo's taking offense to receiving these lands. They're actually very profitable and good for him. So Nichiren is trying to ameliorate to Shijo Kingo's feelings slighted by his lord. He wasn't slighted at all. It's just Shijo Kingo's arrogance, right? In any event, Nichiren goes on, you had been forsaken by your fellow samurai and by the people close to you, and they mocked you for their own amusement. Under the circumstances, an official letter granting you any sort of fief, even one inferior to Tonoaka, would have been welcome. Yet, as it turned out, your new domains are three times as large. No matter how poor these estates might be, avoid complaining of it, either to others or your lord. Right? You have to watch what you're saying to your fellow samurai. They're going to use everything, every mechanism. They're jealous of you. So watch how you should be, right? You should react differently. Start thinking about your own words before you utter them, in other words. If you say, quote, they are excellent, excellent lands, your lord may add to your fiefs again, because he'll see your appreciation, right? But if you say things like, the lands are poor, or there are no profits, you could very well be forsaken by both heaven and other people. You should bear this in mind. Again, heaven is used as a word here. What Nietzsche is talking about is, you're making a bad cause. You're reducing this opportunity, this reward, to something mere mundane value, when in fact it represents much more than that, right? King Ajatasattru was a worthy man, but because he killed his own father, immediately heaven would have abandoned him and the earth split open to swallow him up, right? His life condition would have been in a toilet. However, because of the merit of his father, the murdered king, he had gained by making 500 cartloads of offerings to the Buddha every day for the space of several years, and because of the merit he himself would later gain by becoming a supporter of the Lotus Sutra, it was difficult for heaven to abandon him. In other words, he created a lot of fortune in his life, a lot of good support from his environment, right? Because of his life condition. And the earth remained whole. In the end, he avoided falling into hell and became a Buddha. Hell being the sufferings of life. He was able to ameliorate his life condition to the point where he was finally awakened to his Buddha nature, right? So understand, heaven and hell aren't places, they're life conditions. And poor translations at that, I'm sure. Your case is similar to his. You were forsaken by your brothers, resented by your fellow samurai, and persecuted by the scions of the clan and hated by people throughout Japan. Right? Politics. Yet on the 12th, and politics, they do, much as we use that word as a bad word, it is a significant word, politic is, for your state of being, right? If people are supportive of you, if your surroundings are supporting of you, then your life condition feels supported and you feel better. You feel more alive, healthier. Every part of you is your life condition, therefore rises. But if you make causes and your environment is not supportive of you, constantly bringing you down, constantly looking for ways to diminish your life, then your life condition feels embattled, at very least, and most likely sinks into a state of depression of some sort, right? It's life condition. And that's all because of your attitude and your intent in your actions. This is why self and environment are one. They work together. It's a symbiotic relationship. More than symbiotic, they actually reflect one another. Yet on the 12th day of the 9th month in the 8th year of Bunei, 1271, between the hours of the rat and the ox, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m., when I had incurred the wrath of the government authorities, you accompanied me from Kamakura to Echi in Sagami province, holding fast to my horse's reins. Since you thus proved yourself to be foremost ally of the Lotus Sutra in all of Jambudvipa, no doubt the heavenly deities, Brahma and Chakra, have found it difficult to forsake you. Now, this is a reference to the Tatsunokuchi persecution, where Nichiren was to be beheaded, and Shijo Kingo was there to witness and to be there for Nichiren as support. So that's a tremendous cause, right? So Nichiren is reminding Shijo Kingo of not that too distant of a relation and circumstance where Shijo Kingo proved his mettle in support of the Lotus Sutra. And he's reminding him because he's saying, now you're forgetting that this reward you're getting from Lord Emma isn't just this trivial thing that he's giving you because suddenly you've saved his life and he's grateful. Lord Emma doesn't even understand that this gift is coming from your life condition and the karma that you've created for yourself through your past actions. He's trying to establish in Shijo Kingo's mind this causal chain that Shijo Kingo has slowly inculcated into his life condition, and that is an overriding reason why all of this good fortune is coming his way. See, as humans, we tend to be very short-sighted. And we look at recent events as completely causal to what is happening to us now. And certainly, that's a partial truth. There's a longer behavior stream of causality that is accumulating as well as what has been recently done. Which is why sometimes a small error gets a big result, and other times a large error even will be a mild result in our lives. We have to take into account the arc of our life, right? The same is true of your attaining Buddhahood. No matter what grave offenses you may have committed, because you did not turn against the Lotus Sutra, but showed your devotion to accompanying me, you will surely become a Buddha. So even with your great errors that you may have made in your life, unlike other philosophies, religions, where you would spend your whole life atoning for some mistake you either made or some original mistake, like original sin or anything like that, your life isn't about atoning for these mystical things. Your life is a very easy balance sheet. And on supporting your Buddha and Lotus Sutra, which represents the enlightenment of all sentient and insentient beings, you are making such a huge life-affirming cause that it can shift the balance of your life condition and your life greatly to minimize, diminish, or even exculpate you from errors that you've made in the past. It's not a big eraser, but you have to understand the nature, the depth of the cause you're making in relation to others. Yours is like the case of King Professor of Virtue, who gave his life to save the monk realization of virtue and became Shakyamuni Buddha. Resolute mind and conviction in the Lotus Sutra acts as a meditation, a deep meditation, or samadhi, to attain Buddhahood. Strengthen your resolve to seek the way all the more and achieve Buddhahood in this lifetime. So he's exhorting him to stop being petty. Look at the bigger picture. Look at this reward as validation for your practice and how your Buddhahood functions in your life. Pay it respects. Get there as soon as possible. Right? So this is a powerful teaching that all of us can gain from. When we start feeling miserable about stuff, whether it's our health or losing a job or a friendship or just hard times we're having, we should be conversely thankful that we're in a position to be able to see that suffering, that misery in our samsaric life without being completely torn down or deathly. Even if you're on your deathbed, you should be thankful for what you can experience in this moment. You can attain Buddhahood right now. That's a much more powerful thing. So chant. Exercise your Buddhahood in whatever circumstance you find yourself in. Don't let yourself samsarically sink into depression and own that lower life condition. That's samsara. That's the vicissitudes of life. Instead, raise your mind, raise your life condition, even in the midst of that. And everything then becomes an opportunity for enlightenment, whether it makes sense or not. And to Shijo Kingo, at this moment, his arrogance and his pettiness about the gifts he's receiving are outweighing his vision of this tremendous fortune he's got in his life. So if he did the Daimonku, right? If he could sit in front of his mandala of Gohonzon and invoke his Buddha nature, all that pettiness would be erased. He wouldn't be held down by it. In other words, the lower paths, right? That pettiness and that suffering is all self-imposed. It doesn't need to be that way. He can instead convert his mind to his Buddha awareness, and all of that pettiness would be irrelevant. It would mean nothing. It would just disappear. He would then well up appreciation, which is far more appropriate to the condition he should be in samsara, right? Earthly desires are enlightenment. No more gratifying thing has ever happened to any member of your Lord's clan, whether monk or layman. When I say this, it may seem as if it is a desire of the present existence, But for ordinary people, that too is only natural, and moreover, a way exists to become a Buddha even without eradicating desires. This is what I keep saying all along. Buddhahood is attained during our lifetime, our mundane life of desires, daily obsessions about things in this experience of humanity with its human conditions of constant desire, obsessing, obtaining, and owning, our attachments. In this very existence, we can invoke our life condition of Buddha. What a tremendous thing. So, again, the lesson being, whatever tumult you think you're experiencing now, you should take that as an opportunity to enlighten yourself. To stop traveling in that world of suffering, because it's an illusion that you're making up for yourself. Change your illusion if you have to. Myoho Renge Kyo. Be in Buddha. Explaining the heart of the Lotus Sutra, the Universal Worthy Sutra says, quote, without either cutting off earthly desires or separating themselves from the five desires, so on and so forth. And the great teacher Tendai's great concentration and insight reads, quote, earthly desires are enlightenment. The sufferings of birth and death are nirvana. Explaining how the Lotus Sutra surpasses all the rest of the Buddha's lifetime of teachings, Bodhisattva Nagarjuna's treatise on the great perfection of wisdom says, quote, the Lotus Sutra is like a great physician who can change poison into medicine. Well, that quote ought to resonate with Shijo Kingo, right? This passage means that while a lesser physician cures illness with medicine, a great physician cures grave illness with virulent poison. So that might be confusing there. I'm not sure about that translation. But the point being that if your medicine is based on your clarity and Buddha nature, your knowing nature of the process of life, what possible process of life could not be the springboard for your enlightenment? Because all of that earthly desire, all of the illness, health, whatever, is a temporary state of humanness that we exist in, but we don't have to invest our minds in it. Yes, we'll have emotions, we'll have tumult of feelings and fortune and misfortune, but that's an earthly experience. While in this earthly experience, without denying this earthly experience, we can raise our minds well above it to the potential of understanding and seeing, distancing ourselves, liberating ourselves from our attachment to those sufferings, and see everything as just a simple dance of life with our Buddha mind. Being unaffected by our mundane travails. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. So, obviously Nichiren used this opportunity of a complaining samurai to demonstrate how what he's complaining about is his very reason for invoking his Buddhahood, is the very energy that he's dedicating to this negatively. He needs to let that go and use that same force, that same momentum in a positive reinforcing way. And by doing that, he changes karma, right? He changes the direction, the momentum, the kinetic energy of his life toward enlightenment, Buddhahood. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. I hope that made sense. If you have questions, that's what the comment sections are for. Don't forget to download the podcast if that works for you. And I will see you in the next one. Thank you so much for being here. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Bye-bye now.